Good morning. It's good to see you today. We're thankful that your presence and some who we thought were going to be out of town or not. It's good to have you too. Good to see everyone present as we worship together. We are going to, in a moment, turn our attention to Matthew 13. So I invite you to stay there if you've already turned there. And if not, if you'll turn to that passage of Scripture in just a moment, we will study together from it. I add my word of welcome to our visitors. We appreciate your presence. We want you to know that we appreciate that you put the time and effort to be here among us, and we want to be able to encourage you in the things of God. So if you have any questions of what we teach or practice, we're happy to receive those from you, and we hope that we can in turn say and do those things that will help you in the service of God. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then we want you to understand that sin is separating you from your God. And that in sin, you're lost and need the salvation that Jesus provides. And so we want to encourage you this morning to, first of all, believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and to then act upon that faith, to confess it before those gathered here today, to repent of your sins against God, to change your heart, and to allow God's Word to do its work in changing that attitude and that conduct that is against God's will to then one that will do the will of God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins that you've committed in the past. So allow the Lord to add you to His church as a result of that, those actions of faith, to be saved. And we hope that will be your response to the gospel this morning. That's your need. If it's your need as a Christian to repent of sin, to return to your Father, then we hope that this will be the occasion where you do that fully and completely as a responsive faith, with a responsive faith to His word and will, to be justified in His sight and saved by the blood of Jesus. As we said in Matthew the 15th or 13th chapter, we have Jesus teaching many parables, and Matthew recording a number of these parables. Now, Jesus is in a boat when He teaches these parables. He says on that occasion, at least on that there in the first part of the chapter, His disciples will come to Him later and ask Him about it. But we've entitled our lesson, "What Kind of Heart Do You Have?" Because central to this parable will be the matter of the heart. Let's lay a little bit of ground work, if you please, to use a pun, I suppose, in what we're going to be studying. Let's remember that the gospel is designed to penetrate the heart and to change lives. In Acts, the second chapter, when the apostles preached on the day of Pentecost, we read that that Peter brought the point to a conclusion when he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." The Scripture then says, "And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart," or pricked to the heart, "and said unto Peter and the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, the focus, the goal of the gospel preaching, of the gospel itself, preached to lost people, is to go into the heart, to convict the heart of sin, and to teach the convicted to respond, how to respond, and to be saved from sin. In James, the first chapter, verses 21 through 23, we find that this is that we are willing participants in that process. When it says, "Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, and be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." He says, now, receive the word. Allow it to do its work in your life. Be a doer, not only a hearer. We deceive ourselves if we think that by hearing God's word, we are right in God's sight. We must receive this word. The gospel is designed for us to receive it, to take it into our hearts so that our lives are changed by it. And that's really the focus, the driving point of the parable of the sower. we decide what kind of heart we will have. As I said, Jesus' disciples came to him in verse 10, it says, and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And in the course of explaining that to them, and Brother Adrian talked about some of this Wednesday night, about hearing God, he said in verse 14, "In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive.'" Now, notice Jesus is saying Isaiah is being fulfilled in some of those people who hear these parables. They hear, but they don't understand. It could be today that there are some here present even who are hearing, but are not understanding. That's at the heart of our lesson, is to figure that out. Know what kind of heart we have, so that we have the right kind of heart to receive the blessing of salvation Jesus offers us. He says in verse 15, "The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes are hard of hearing. I'm sorry, their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Clearly, Isaiah is saying, and Jesus is applying it, is that people decide how they will respond to what they hear. And he said, "As I teach these parables, there will be some who will hear me and will not understand it, because their hearts have become dull. They will decide what kind of heart they will have toward what I teach them." You know, Jesus said, "We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength." To love God with all of our hearts would be, of course, to love Him by hearing His Word and responding to what He says. That's why Jesus says, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear." Verse 9. Decide that you will have an ear that is open to what He says. God, now we don't have time to develop this point much, but I wanted to just note it, that in the Old Testament, God would, on the one hand, in Ezekiel 11, tell His people, "I will give you a clean heart," the remnant that would be in exile because of their sins. He said, "I'll give you a clean heart." But in Ezekiel 18, 30-32, He emphasizes the point that they had to clean their hearts. They had to make a decision. Ezekiel 18 and 30 says, "Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you've committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live." Get a heart that will enable you to live. Not a heart that's going to cause you to stay in sin and die in your sin. The gospel is of this nature. It calls upon us to get a heart that's going to enable us to live. So the parable of the sower gives us discernment and understanding when we hear the truth. When we're ready to hear the truth. You know, Jesus said, "If a man wills to do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak from God or of my own authority." John 7:17. We have to have a will to do the will of God. If we have a will to do the will of God, Jesus says that when we hear His parables or any of His teachings, then we're going to understand it. We're going to have a perception that we'll receive it, our heart that will receive it, so that we can use it. That's His point throughout this. Now, the parallel accounts, Mark 4 and Luke 8 of this parable, gives us some additional insight from time to time as you study these parables. I want you to look at Mark 4 and 13. Jesus said about the parable of the sower, "Do you not understand this parable?" I said, "Don't you perceive this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" How are you going to know any of the parables if you don't understand this parable? The parable of the sower is at the heart of understanding the parables Jesus taught, because it is fundamental to a heart that is receptive to the Word of God. And you know, a parable takes something of common life and lays it along, and lays a spiritual application down alongside it. Parallel, parable. That's what the word means. Jesus takes the common idea now of somebody sowing seed, and he's going to make application to what kind of heart a person has toward the word of the kingdom. Chapter 13 of Matthew and verse 23. We're going to read that in a moment. Now, a heart that's not ready to receive truth, not willing to receive truth, is hard and dull, is not going to listen, not going to learn, and consequently it's not going to live. And so when we have seed that fall on the wayside, the roadside, or on the stony ground and the thorny ground, there's going to be an issue of the heart that's preventing God's Word from bearing its fruit in one's life. So Jesus says, Matthew 13:18, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower." And he gives us, and then he explains what it means. And he says, if you don't grasp this, if you don't attend to this and understand and consider what is said in this parable, you're not going to understand any of the parables. So this is fundamental. Let's read his explanation and let's make the points that hopefully are pertinent to us today as we try to determine, you see, what kind of heart we have. We want to ask ourselves this question as we read through and study this parable. What kind of heart do I have? Where am I in this parable? Because everybody in the whole world is somewhere in this parable. Jesus said there, Matthew 13:18, beginning, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom..." Alright, Jesus said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. Okay. "Anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. So when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground, and he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The seed, he says, is the word of the kingdom, the word of God. But he said, as the sower sowed, some of it fell on the wayside. Now, we have opportunity and ways of planting seed now that much different, mechanized, that you can sometimes avoid that. But of course, what he's describing is the broadcasting of seed, the casting out of seed, he says, and some of it's going to fall over on the wayside, over there where people walk. Of course, you know how ground is when you walk on it a lot. It gets hard, it gets compacted, and the seed doesn't penetrate that ground. Well, Jesus says, that's a kind of heart toward the Word of God. There's some hearts that are hard, that the Word of God does not penetrate. But how does it get that way? You see, the parable doesn't simply tell us there's that kind of a heart, but the parable helps us to begin to analyze and understand ourselves whether or not our heart is that way. What causes that to take place? Here's an individual that chooses not to understand the Word of God. We choose whether or not to understand it. If our heart is hard, it is because we have chosen to be hard toward the Word of God. We weren't born that way. We made the choice. We made a series of choices. Not to hear, but to harden ourselves against truth. Here's the verse we mentioned a minute ago, John 7, verse 17. Jesus said, if anyone wills to do the will of the Father, if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, concerning the teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. If anyone wills to do His will, we decide, we determine, we have free will, choice, whether or not we're going to understand truth. That's fundamental, and that's where Jesus begins with this parable. They hear the word, but they do not understand it. Well, why is it they don't understand it? Is it too hard to understand? No. Romans 10, 8 and 9 says it's not too far off. It's very understandable. Ephesians 5 says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has communicated Himself in a way that we can understand what His will is for our lives. No, He says what's going on is the devil's at work upon our hearts and in our lives to snatch the Word of God away. See, the devil is active. He's active through his ministers, through his servants in this world and around us to try to turn our attention away from the Word of God, to develop hearts that are unwilling to receive the Word of God when it's right there in front of us. It's laying right there. It's on the wayside, but it cannot penetrate. We hear it, but it doesn't absorb. It doesn't go into our heads, into our hearts. Why is that? Well, Satan's at work. One reason. It's like the birds eating the seed off of the road. Satan snatching the word away. You see, Luke 8 and verse 12. That's what Jesus is describing here. He doesn't want you to believe. He wants you to reject belief. Because if he can reject belief in the Word of God, he keeps you lost. He prevents your salvation. Of course, again, it's a choice we're making. He's not doing that against our will. We're making a choice, he said here. We're making a choice. Here's the hard and closed heart that the truth is presented, but the heart is closed, unyielding, unbending. And we hear something in the Word of God and we just don't like it. And we may think it's just us, but of course Satan's behind it. See, but we're making a choice, we're making a decision. And we have to recognize that. Now, this whole point refutes the direct operation of the Holy Spirit for salvation. Because you see, hearts can receive God's Word or hearts can be hardened to God's Word. Again, we emphasize we make a choice. The sower sows seed, but some of the hearts that Word falls upon have been closed, have been hardened. Now, Jesus doesn't talk about just wait for the Holy Spirit to open your heart and then you'll receive the Word. No, the Holy Spirit is at work through His Word, through the very Word that He has revealed to us and that is preached to save us from our sins. In Hebrews 3, you remember that the writer says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, Hebrews 3:7, the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So you see, you decide. Do not harden your hearts. Look at verse 10. God says, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Before we ever outwardly disobey, we go astray in our heart. We make a choice. And God told Israel, do not harden your heart. God tells us, do not harden our hearts. The parable refutes the Calvinistic doctrine that you've got to wait for a direct operation of the Holy Spirit in order to believe, in order for God's Word to absorb, so you can be saved. No, Jesus says the sower sows the seed, and if your heart is closed and unyielding and unwilling, you will be lost. You will not believe. Satan will snatch it away. and you'll die in your sins. Well, now, Jesus gets specific here in verse 19 to explain a little bit, as we said, and we've kind of said some of this already, but I want you to see the point. What leads one to a hard, closed heart? Sin does. Sin leads us to have this kind of a heart, to choose to be hardened. Back to Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So he says, be careful, be warned. Sin is deceptive. Satan is at work. You have to resist the devil for him to flee from you. James 4 and verse 7. Sin is alluring, it's attractive, it's captivating, and it will destroy your willingness to hear God's Word. It will harden your heart. I want you to see something else in Romans 1, 22, or 21 and 22, and that is, ingratitude and pride have the effect of hardening our heart against God's Word. God has blessed us with life and everything needed to sustain it, and He has, in Jesus Christ, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We have everything needed for physical life and everything at our disposal for spiritual life. Now, and yet, if we are ungrateful, look what it does. Romans 1, 21. Because although they knew God. Now he's describing people who had the evidence set before them in the Gentile world of God's presence and power through the creation. We know of His presence. We see the reality of His power. But because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Hearts become darkened when the evidence of truth is ignored and we refuse to be thankful to the God who blesses us with everything from life itself and all everything else. You see, they refuse to be thankful, refuse to honor God. That hardens our hearts. Now, he goes on to say, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's a description of pride. When we profess our wisdom and ignore God, we're unthankful, we're prideful, it leads to unholiness, of course, sin upon sin, and so our hearts become hard. The process of hardening the heart leads a person to see the gospel as foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:23. So that when they hear the plan of salvation, they say that's foolish. When they hear about true worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth, they say that's foolish. When they hear about the simple plan of the church, how it's organized, how it functions, what it is, they say that's foolish. Because the heart becomes hard and God's Word is snatched away. Jesus says, look at your heart. And so we need to look at our hearts this morning. On any subject, morality, worship, you know, whatever the particular subject, how is our heart? If God's revealed His Word, the Word of the Kingdom, if it has something to say about it, then how are we treating it? Does it absorb or does it roll off? Satan snatched it away because we've allowed sin or ingratitude or pride cause us to simply close our ears, shut our eyes, and with dull, unresponsive, hard hearts stay in sin. We have a choice. See, we have to decide. We decide what's going to describe our heart. When you hear its message about sin and salvation, do you receive it? We made these points right there, just now. Do not let the devil snatch the Word of God from your heart. But now, say, okay, well, I received that Word. I'm joyful for that. Jesus says, you know, there's some like that. They'll hear the Word of the Kingdom, and they'll receive it immediately with joy. Sort of like the seed in the stony soil. You know, stony soil, the plant will grow up for a while, but hard to get roots in that stony ground. He says it endures for a while, but then the sun starts beating down upon it. You see? Has no depth. Remember the parable? Has no depth of earth. 13:5. And so verse 6, when the sun gets up, it scorches it. Can't get nutrition. Can't sustain moisture. It dies. Withers away because it has no roots. We know that from gardening. We know that just from seeing how things go with plants and soil. See, it's a very simple parable. He says that's how it is with the Word of God. He says, yet they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately he stumbles. If we fail to count the cost of discipleship, we have a heart problem. I want us to think about this a minute. We can receive the Word of God joyfully, and there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's right to receive the Word of God joyfully, rejoicing. We found the treasure. Remember, Jesus will teach that parable a little bit later in Matthew 13. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that a man found and hid and went and sold all that he had so he could buy that field. It's a joyful thing to find salvation. But will we have the depth of faith to endure? Will we have the heart to endure? We have to count the cost. If we do not count the cost of being a disciple of Jesus, then and if we're unwilling to do that and willing to see the price that has to be paid, then there will be a problem in the heart, because the persecution and tribulation will arise because of the Word. Jesus taught us to count the cost, like the man building the tower or the king going to war. Start to build a building, but you don't have enough to finish. You didn't count the cost, he says, and everybody will see that and ridicule. Count the cost, he says, of following him. That was his point. We have to count that cost and pay that price. Jesus says, and look at the lack of root there in Luke 14. That was really the principle. Because he was talking to people who were going after him. They were following him where he was going, from city to city, town, village to village, up there in Galilee. And he turned and told them, you've got to love me more than your mother and father. He said, whoever does not hate his father and mother and wife and husband and brother and sister, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You can't follow me if you love somebody more, or if you love yourself more. You can't be my disciple. Count the cost. So the gospel is preached. You're in sin, you need to be saved. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. Be faithful to Jesus. And, oh, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. And I'm baptized into Christ, but I didn't realize later on, I began to say, well, I didn't know it was going to cost me that. You mean I'm going to have to be concerned with the clothes I wear and how I speak? And you mean I'm going to have to worship with God's people on Sunday? And that's not Christianity to me. Well, see, it never was about what it is to me. It's about what it is to Jesus. So if we don't count the cost, if we have a heart that's shallow, that's driven by emotion rather than the depth of faith, like the shallow soil that hits the rock and burns up, the plant burns up because it has no root. Tests of faith are going to come, you see. They're going to come. And God's looking for hearts that will endure the tests, to put their trust in Jesus, and let the Word of God have its work. Proverbs 24:10, and then in 16, the principles are stated. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, the plant wilts in the day of the scorching heat because its root is small. Its root is not deep. Can't go down and penetrate and get the sustenance and get the stability and get the nourishment and the moisture it needs to thrive. That same proverb or passage 24 and 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. You have a root that's deep. You may fall, but you'll rise up again. You see, but the wicked fall by calamity. The wicked, because they have no root in God, no faith in Christ, no stability as a result of it, wither and die. What kind of heart? The stony soil, the shallow emotional hearts. And by the way, this refutes once saved, always saved, doesn't it? In Luke 8:13, look at that. The doctrine that says once you're saved, you'll always be saved, and if you're lost, you never were saved in the first place. Luke 8:13, remember, this parable says they received the word. Luke 8:13, the one on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. They accept the word, but they have no root who believe for a while. So for a while they believe. It's not that they never believe. They believe for a while. And in time of temptation, fall away. Christians can fall away. People who have received the Word, who've believed for a while, can fall away. Jesus says, look at your hearts to keep that from happening. Is it shallow? Or will you allow God's Word to drive down roots? He says, the shallow heart, the shallow soil, this heart driven by the moment and emotion rather than faith, immediately stumbles. Because it has no root. Immediately stumbles. You see, there's going to be a testing of our faith from things outside. Testing of our faith. And unless we have a deep faith, we will separate ourselves from the love of Christ. See, Romans 8 assures us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, but we can separate ourselves if we choose to not drive our roots down deep with a heart that is open and responsive to His Word. Paul said, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. The shallow soil, this plant that withers and dies, it's not God's fault. No, the Word's the same Word. But it's about a heart that's unwilling to let that Word penetrate deeply. So we have surface Christians. We have fair weather Christians. We have, you see, when things are fair, things are good, then I'm there. But it gets a little difficult. The trial of tribulation comes, as he points out in the parable. It says, verse 21, when tribulation or persecution arises, oh, then it's just too much. Count cost. Jesus gave His life. Now, can we honestly think, if we really contemplate the reality that Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree, that He hung on a tree for our salvation, that we're going to follow Him and it's going to cost us nothing? When it cost Him everything? The lie of the devil. You see, it's a lie of the devil. Jesus talks about thorny soil, the overcrowded heart. Here's the heart now that receives the soil, receives the seed. That is, the heart receives the word of the kingdom. But it's among the thorns. And here's the one who hears the word. Verse 22, he hears it. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things, Mark will tell us, chokes out the word and it's not fruitful. You see, here's the heart that does not have room and does not make room for God's word. Anytime you want something to grow, you have to clear the soil. You have to clear the ground. You have to dig up the weeds. You have to remove the thorns. After all, remember, God told Adam, in the sweat of your brow, you'll live. You're going to have to work and clear the soil so you can have a crop so you can eat and you can live. But then you'll eventually die. We have to clear out our hearts of the things that will choke God's Word so that we will live now and live eternally. Or we'll not only die now in the flesh, we'll die eternally in our sin. And Jesus says, consider the heart. See, it's double-minded. It's unstable in all of its ways. It tries to please God and please man. All it does is please sin. It chokes out God's Word. Sin does that. Look, he says, he names three things here. And you get the third if you look at Mark's account in Mark chapter 4. Look at Mark's listing here. The cares of this world. See, we have other things more important. Can't serve two masters. And here's the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Our life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. Luke 12:15. Covetousness. Greed. Materialism. Chokes God's word from the hearts of many. The desire for other things, or lust for other things. Pleasures of sin for a season. Choke God's word. Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. We have to value truth more than we value anything else in this world. Pleasures, riches, even the things that are necessary in this world cannot drive our heart away from God. We must serve God first. The thorny soil is overcrowded. It's given itself to the things that choke productivity. This is the one who's forgotten the cleansing from sin. Remember, Peter said, if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. But he who lacks these things is blind, having forgotten his cleansing from his old sin. The thorny ground, you know, once you clear the ground, those thorns can come back up. I pulled weeds a few weeks back. You probably did too in your flower bed if you have one. And lo and behold, I looked yesterday and those weeds are coming up again. I get out there and do it all over again. See, the idea we think about Christianity is we take care of it once and it's all good. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Don't worry about that anymore. We got to constantly be pulling up the weeds. Or we forget our cleansing and we go right back to it and we bear no fruit. In fact, we're choked off and we lose our souls. Look how that refutes unconditional election. See that? Here's one who heard the truth. He understood it. He accepted it. But he just didn't clear out the ground that he needed. Jesus didn't say, now when you hear the word of God, wait for some enabling grace that will identify you as the elect, and then you can receive this word and you're going to bear fruit regardless of what happens. No. You're going to decide when you hear the word. You're going to clear out your heart. You're going to make room for it and remove the sin. That's what repentance is about. You see, you change your heart. You do that. You decide. Not the doctrine of unconditional election. It's going to save you regardless because God chose before time's eternal to save you. No, that's not fair. Not in the gospel. Finally, the good heart, the good soil, the good and honest heart. Look, Jesus says, this is the one who he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And indeed bears fruit, produces 100-fold, 60, 30. Here's the heart that understands and accepts, Mark 4:20, receives or accepts what it says. You see, to be willing to accept when the Word of God says, Joe, you're a sinner, to accept that, to be able for the Word to show us how to correct our sin and accept it, to do it, understand it, and to respond. This is the good ground. This is the produce that is yielded. A heart that is willing to be renewed by the Word of God. Receive with meekness the implanted Word that's able to save your soul. You're lost in sin. It can save you. It can renew you. You can bear good fruit and be the disciple of Jesus. Renewed in spirit. Ephesians 4:20-24. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why? Because of what we hear the Word and accept it and hold it fast. That is, obey it and bear fruit. You see, when the Word of God says, I'm a sinner, we need to say, what must I do to be saved? This is the good heart. Philippian jailer. When the Word of God teaches us, then we respond. And that refutes total hereditary depravity, doesn't it? You see? The doctrine that says you're going to have to wait for God to enable you before you can believe. No. What must I do to be saved? The Word of God, I hear it. It teaches me what to do. Remember on the day of Pentecost, they said, what must we do? Because they were convicted of their sin. They were told to repent and be baptized. See, we have to bear fruit. We have to obey what God's Word says. Bear fruit with patience, Luke 8:15 says. And that's talking about our endurance. We've got to endure by continuing to do the good works of God. He that endures to the end will be saved, Mark 10:22. Not just a good beginning, but when trial and persecution comes, fall away. Not hear it, but don't make room for it, and so bear no fruit, and are lost. But hear it, understand it, accept it, obey it, yield ourselves to it, and then keep on doing that. Keep on enduring to the end. Let us not grow weary in that which is good, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Did you hear the parable of the sower? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That is, did you learn what kind of heart you have? Which one? The wayside? The stony? The thorny? The good soil? Did you learn what kind of heart you must have in order to be saved? And if the answers are different, then what are you going to do about it? What will you do with what you've learned, with what you've heard? You see, what you do with what you've heard really tells you what kind of heart you have. You see, what we do with what we hear that comes from God. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, men, brethren, what shall we do? And they were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so verse 41 says, they then that received His word were baptized. And they were added together in that day 3,000 souls. What we do with what we hear tells us what kind of heart we have. What will you do with what you've heard? Are you lost, separated by sin from your God? Then have a heart that will hear the word and understand it and hold it fast, accepting it, obeying it, to bear fruit to God's glory. If you're in sin as a Christian, you've let God's word be choked out, or you haven't developed the root that you need, and sin has intruded, then repent of that sin, return to God. He'll forgive you. And you'll be, again, seeking to hear and to receive and to bear the fruit under the salvation of your soul. won't you respond while together we stand and we sing.